Chapter 2, page 23. Christ in his essential and primeval glory. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Proverbs 8, verse 30. These words are a part of that excellent commendation of wisdom by which in this book Solomon intends two things, first, grace or holiness. Wisdom is the principal thing, Proverbs 4, 7. Secondly, Jesus Christ, the fountain of that grace, and as the former is renowned for its excellency, Job 28, verses 14 and 15, so is the latter, in this context, wherein the Spirit of Christ describes the most blessed state of Jesus Christ, the wisdom of the Father, from those eternal delights he had with his Father before his assumption of our nature. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. That eternity was wholly swallowed up in unspeakable delights and pleasures. The Father and Son delighted one in another, from which delights the Spirit is not here excluded, without communicating their joy to any other, for no creature then existed save in the mind of God. Verse 30. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, in his very bosom. The only begotten Son was in the bosom of the Father. John 1:18, an expression of the greatest dearness and intimacy, as if he had said, wrapped up in the very soul of his Father, embosomed in God. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. These delights of the Father and the Son, one in the other, knew not a moment's interruption. Thus did these great and glorious persons mutually communicate their fullest pleasure and delight, each into the heart of the other. They lay, as it were, embosomed in one another, entertaining themselves with delights and pleasures ineffable and inconceivable. Hence we observe, the state of Jesus Christ before his incarnation was that of the highest and most unspeakable delight and pleasure in the enjoyment of his Father. As he was in the bosom of the Father, John 1:18, the posture of dearest love, John 13:23, so in Isaiah 42, verse 1, the Father calls him, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. And he is said in this state to be rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9, and to be equal with God and in the form of God, Philippians 2:6. That is, to have all the glory and ensigns of the majesty of God, and the riches which the Apostle speaks of, was no less than all that God the Father hath. All that the Father hath is mine, John 16:15. And what he now hath in his exalted state is the same that he had before his humiliation, John 17:5. Now to portray, as we are able, the unspeakable felicity of that original state of Christ, 1. Let us consider that state negatively, by removing from it all the degrees of debasement and sorrow involved in his incarnation. 1. He was not then abased to the condition of a creature, which was a low step indeed, for by this, saith the Apostle, he made himself of no reputation, Philippians 2:7, it emptied him of his glory. For God to be made man is such an abasement as none can express, but not only to appear in true flesh, but also in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans 8, verse 3, oh, what is this? 2. Christ was not under the law in this state. It was no disparagement to Adam in the state of innocency, or to angels in their state of glory, to be under the law to God. But it was an inconceivable abasement to the absolute independent being to come under law, yea, not only under the obedience, but also under the malediction and curse of the law. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians 4:4. 3. In this state he was not liable to any of those sorrowful consequences and attendants of that frail and feeble state of humanity which he afterwards assumed. There was no sorrowing or sighing in that bosom where he lay, though afterwards he became a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53, verse 3. A man of sorrows, as if he had been constituted and made up of pure and unmixed sorrows, every day conversing with grief, as with his intimate companions and acquaintance. He was never pinched with poverty and want while he continued in that bosom, as he was afterwards when he said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Matthew 8, verse 20. Ah, blessed Jesus, thou needest not to have wanted a place to lay thy head, hadst thou not left that bosom for my sake. He never underwent reproach and shame in that bosom. There was nothing but glory and honor reflected upon him by his Father, though afterwards he was despised and rejected of men. Isaiah 53:3. His Father never looked upon him without smiles and love, delight and joy, though afterwards he became a reproach of men and despised of the people. Psalm 22:6. While he lay in that bosom of peace and love, he never knew what it was to be assaulted with temptations, to be besieged by unclean spirits, as he did afterwards. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4:1. It was for our sakes that he submitted to those exercises of spirit to be in all points tempted like as we are. Hebrews 4:15. That he might be unto us a merciful and faithful high priest. Hebrews 2:17. He was never sensible of pains and tortures in soul or body, though afterwards he groaned and sweat under them. Isaiah 53:5. The Lord embraced him from eternity, but never wounded him till he stood in our place and room. There were no hidings or withdrawings of his Father from him. There was not a cloud from eternity upon the face of God till Jesus Christ had left that bosom. It was a new thing to Christ to cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matthew 27:46. There were never any impressions of his Father's wrath upon him as there were afterwards. God never delivered such a bitter cup into his hands before as that. Matthew 26:39. There was no death to which he was subject in that bosom. All these things were new to Christ. He was above them all, till, for our sakes, he voluntarily subjected himself unto them. Roman 2. Let us consider Christ's primeval state positively, and guess, for indeed we can but guess at the glory of it. 1. We cannot but conceive it to be a state of matchless happiness, if we consider the persons enjoying and delighting in each other. He was with God, John 1:1, God the fountain, ocean, and center of all delights and joys. In thy presence is fullness of joy, Psalm 16:11. To be wrapped up in the soul and bosom of all delights, as Christ was, must needs be a state of bliss transcending apprehension. 2. Consider the intimacy, dearness, yea, oneness of those great persons, and the nearer the union, the sweeter the communion. Now Jesus Christ was not only near and dear to God, but one with him. I and my Father are one, John 10:30, one in nature, will, love, and delight. There is indeed a moral union of souls among men by love, but this was a natural oneness. No child is so one with his father, no husband so one with the wife of his bosom, no friend so one with his friend, no soul so one with its body, as Jesus Christ and his Father were one. Oh, what matchless delights must necessarily flow from such a blessed union. 3. Consider again the purity of that delight with which the blessed Father and Son embraced each other. The best of creature delights are mixed, debased, and alloyed. If there be something engaging and delightful, there is also something cloying and distasteful. The purer any delight is, the more excellent. Now there are no crystal streams flowing so purely from the fountain, no beams of light so unmixed from the sun, as the loves and delights of these holy and glorious persons were. The holy, holy, holy Father embraced the thrice holy Son with a most holy delight and love. 4. Consider the constancy of this delight. It was from everlasting, as in verse 23, and from eternity. It never suffered one moment's interruption. The overflowing fountain of God's delight and love never stopped its course, never ebbed. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. 3. Let us consider the glory of that state comparatively, either with the choicest delights that one creature takes in another, or that God takes in the creature, or that the creatures take in God. Measure these immense delights between the Father and his Son by either of these lines, and you shall find them infinitely short. 1. The delight that creatures take in each other is sometimes a great delight, such as Jacob's delight in Benjamin, whose life is said to be bound up in the lad's life. Genesis 44:30, a dear and high expression. Such was that of Jonathan and David, whose soul was knit with his soul, He loved him as his own soul. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. And such is the delight of one's friend in another. There is a friend that is as a man's own soul. Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. Yet all this is but creature delight, and can in no particular equal the delights between the Father and the Son. For this is but a finite delight, according to the measure and abilities of creatures. But that is infinite, suitable to the infinite perfection of the divine being. This is always mixed, that perfectly pure. Number 2. It is confessed that God takes great delight in some creatures. The Lord takes pleasure in his saints. He rejoices over them with singing, and resteth in his love. Zephaniah 3:17 and Isaiah 62, verse 5. But yet there is a great difference between his delight in creatures and his delight in Christ, for all his delight in the saints is secondary and for Christ's sake. But his delights in Christ are primary and for his own sake. We are accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6. He is beloved and accepted for himself. Number 3. The delight that the best of creatures take in God and Christ, it must be confessed, is a choice delight, and that is a transcendent love with which they love and delight in him. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. Psalm 73, verse 25. But surely our delight in God is no perfect rule by which to measure his delight in Christ, for our love to God at best is still imperfect. That is the burden and constant complaint of saints. But this is perfect. Ours is inconstant, ebbing and flowing, but this is constant. So then the condition and state of Jesus Christ before his incarnation was a state of the highest and most matchless delight in the enjoyment of his Father. Inference number 1. What an astonishing act of love was this, for the Father to give the delight of his soul out of his very bosom for poor sinners. All tongues must needs pause and falter that attempt the expressions of his grace, expressions being here swallowed up. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16. So loved them? How did he love them? Nay, here you must excuse the tongues of angels. Which of us would deliver a child, the child of our delights, an only child, to death, for the greatest inheritance in the world? What tender parent can endure parting with such a child? When Hagar was taking her last leave, as she thought of her Ishmael, she went and sat her down over against him, a good way off. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. Genesis 21, verse 16. Though she were none of the best of mothers, nor he the best of children, yet she could not give up the child. Oh, it was hard to part. What an outcry did David make even for an Absalom, wishing he had died for him. What a breach has the death of some children made in the hearts of some parents, which will never be closed up in this world. Yet surely, never did any child lie so close to a parent's heart as Christ to his Father's. And yet he willingly parts with him, though his only one, the son of his delights, and that to death, a cursed death for sinners, for the worst of sinners. Oh, the admirable love of God to men, matchless love, a love past finding out. Let all men, therefore, in the business of their redemption, give equal glory to the Father with the Son. John 5:23. If the Father had not loved thee, he had never parted with such a Son for thee. 2. From one wonder let our souls turn to another, for they are now in the midst of wonders. Adore and be forever astonished at the love of Jesus Christ to poor sinners, that ever he should consent to leave such a bosom, and the ineffable delights that were there for such poor worms as we are. Oh, the heights, depths, lengths, and breadths of unmeasurable love! See Romans 5, verses 6 through 8. Read and wonder. How is the love of Christ commended to poor sinners? As the Father loved him, even so, believers, hath he loved you. John 17:23. What manner of love is this? Who ever loved as Christ loved? Who ever denied himself for Christ, as Christ denied himself for us? 3. An interest in Jesus Christ is the true way to all spiritual preferment in heaven. Do you covet to be in the heart, in the favor and delight of God? Get an interest in Jesus Christ, and you shall presently be there. In heaven, persons are preferred according to their interest in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6. Christ is the great favorite there,
His image upon your souls and his name in your prayers make both accepted with God. How worthy is Jesus Christ of all our love and delights! You see how infinitely the Father delighteth in him, and shall not our hearts delight in him? Oh, that you did but see this lovely Lord Jesus Christ! Why do ye lavish away your precious affections upon vanity? None but Christ is worthy of them. When you spend your precious affections upon other objects, what is it but to dig for dross with golden mallets? The Lord direct our hearts into the love of Christ. Oh, that our hearts, loves, and delights did meet and co-center with the heart of God in this most blessed object. Oh, let him that left God's bosom for you be embosomed by you, though your love be nothing to God's. He that left God's bosom for you deserves yours. If Christ be the beloved of the Father's soul, think what a grievous and insufferable thing it is to the heart of God to see his dear Son despised, slighted, and rejected by sinners. How God will bear this, that parable Matthew 21, verses 33 through 41, will inform you. Surely he will miserably destroy such wretched sinners. What a dismal word is that, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. 1 Corinthians 16:22. That is, let the great curse of God lie upon that man till the Lord come. O sinners, you shall one day know the cost of this sin. You shall feel what it is to despise a Jesus that is able to compel love from the hardest heart. Oh, that you would slight him no more. Oh, that this day your hearts might fall in love with him. I tell you, if you would set your love to sale, none bid so fair for it as Christ. If Christ lay eternally in this bosom of love and yet was content to forsake and leave it for your sakes, then, Christians, be you ready to forsake all the comforts you have on earth for Christ. Famous Galatius left all for this enjoyment. Moses left all the glory of Egypt. Peter and the apostles left all. Luke 18:28. But what have we to leave for Christ in comparison with what he left for us? Surely Christ is the highest pattern of self-denial in the world. Let this confirm your faith in prayer. If he that has such an interest in the heart of God intercede with the Father for you, then never doubt of audience and acceptance with him. Surely you shall be accepted through the Beloved. Christ was never denied anything that he asked. The Father always hears him. John 11:42. Though you are not worthy, Christ is, and he ever lives to make intercession for you. Hebrews 7:25. Let this encourage thy heart, O saint, in a dying hour, and not only make thee patient in death, but in a holy manner impatient till thou be gone. For whither is thy soul now going, but to that bosom of love whence Christ came? Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. John 17:24. And where is he but in that bosom of glory and love, where he lay before the world was? Verse 5. O then, let every believer encourage his soul. Comfort ye one another with these words. I am leaving the bosom of a creature. I am going to the bosom of God. Sinners, embrace the bosom Son of God. Poor fellow mortals, whatever you are or have been, under whatever guilt or discouragement you lie, embrace Christ, who is freely offered to you, and you shall be as dear to God as the holiest and most eminent believer in the world. But if you still continue to despise and neglect such a Savior, sorer wrath is treasured up for you than other sinners. Hebrews 10, verses 28 and 29. Oh, that these discoveries and overtures of Christ may never come to such a fatal issue with any of your souls, before whom his glory has been thus opened.